Welcome to Nashville and Beyond.
I'm Brian Copeland.
And I'm Zach Copeland.
And we're a father-son duo helping people buy, sell, and thrive in Middle Tennessee.
But this isn't just about business. It's also about our family and our community.
It's a front row seat to how we live, work, and serve right here in Music City.
So buckle up as we explore Nashville and Beyond.
Yeah, this is the one about architecture.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. So, this is week three for us.
Yeah, it's
episode
crazy.
Episode three, maybe not be week three.
It gets a lot easier.
Yeah, it does.
You know?
It does.
Yeah, and appreciate everybody listening. Y'all, the response has been great. You know, I just appreciate getting the emails, the comments from everybody. Tell us we're doing the right thing. So, been really cool. So, today we're talking about architecture, but before we do, I haven't shown you, but you see this bruise here?
What happened?
So you're going to laugh at this.
I know.
Zach has this rubber mallet that he obsesses over to put our signs in the yard. Mm-hmm. And I don't like, he's like, I'm going to bang this in the ground. But I'm real big about pushing signs into the yard. So I was out putting a listing in 2 days ago, and I did my whole body weight thing, and I laid down on the top of the sign, and that's...
Oh, how the turntables.
I know. So, if those of you who are not watching on YouTube, I've got this humongous black bruise down my arm from this stupid sign. So, I'm going to start using your mallet. So, you were right.
I was right.
I can admit, because I always have the mallet in the back of the car for some reason. He leaves it there. He goes, you got my mallet. Mm-hmm. No, I don't have your mallet, but yeah. So I should have had the mallet the other day.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Well, I'm glad we've got that recorded, by the way, everybody. He said, you were right. We've got that recorded audio and video.
Yeah, so. That'll be dropped in many places.
Thank you, Lending Hand.
Yeah. So, you know, when you think about architecture, you know, let's talk about what first comes to mind, the houses we grew up in. So tell everybody about what the house you grew up in and the architecture there.
I mean, I grew up in a double wide. You know, I moved around a lot as a kid. You know, we had talked about it in week one, but you're actually my adopted father. Mm-hmm. So I did have a birth family, a blood family that I grew up with, and they're back in Arkansas, in a really small town in Arkansas, a town of like 300 people is where I grew up, called Grapevine. And I don't know if there's a name countryer than Grapevine, Arkansas. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I grew up in a double wide in the first house that we lived in. Right next door to me was my great-grandmother. Next door to her was my grandmother. So if I ever ran away from home, it was a very quick walk next door to grandma's house. But this double wide trailer that I grew up in, you know, it wasn't visually stunning. It wasn't pleasing to the eye. There was a lot of land, and that was probably the thing about it that I liked the most, and the thing about it that I remember the most is spending time out on the land. There was a creek that ran through it, and I remember one time my little brother, Alec, my brother through my birth family, we were out in the very edge of the backyard. There was probably 2 acres, maybe 2.5 acres, so a little distance away from the house, and he's playing with crickets and grasshoppers. And he sticks some in his pocket because he was going to...
What, grasshoppers?
Oh, yeah. Crickets and grasshoppers. Crickets and grasshoppers.
Or grapes and grasshoppers.
No.
I was like, that's weird.
So he's sticking them in his pocket because he's going to bring them inside. He makes it about halfway up the yard to the house, and he starts screaming bloody murder. Well, they started biting him in his pocket.
Oh, gosh.
So he had these cricket wounds and battle scars from grasshoppers.
Country living.
On the top of his legs from where he had stuck grasshoppers down in his pocket. But, you know, so I grew up in there in a double wide until I was about 12 years old. Then we moved over into another house that was, you can't really describe it in a specific style because it was just kind of a bunch of different rooms, you know, strewn together. Then we moved to another house. Then we moved to another house. Then they built the house that we spent my high school years in.
Okay.
And that house was built out on probably 20 acres of land out in Grapevine. And, you know, it was a matchbox style, colonial inspired, with a big, you know, long front porch that covered the entire length of the house and these two-story columns that went all the way up to the second level. And we had this huge bonus room upstairs in the attic. We had a sunken den. I thought that was so cool to
y'all
have a
went
sunken
fancy.
Den.
So y'all went from mobile home to
we
like
did.
This
we did.
Mini mansion.
Yeah, and you know, they spent a lot of money building it. And in the master suite, which was the size of the double wide that we grew up in, just their master suite, there was a huge walk-in, his and hers closets, a huge bathroom with open ceilings, a massive, I mean, the bedroom itself where the actual bed sat was big enough that you could probably have fit between 15 or 20 king-size mattresses in this, in just the section of that room. And there was a fireplace, a wood-burning fireplace in there. The kitchen was huge. We had a kitchen island that was probably 12 by 12.
Wow.
Huge, massive kitchen island. Copper accents everywhere. Laundry room. You know, there was a lot of things that we had for the first time.
Yeah.
And I remember walking in there and feeling like, oh, we've made it.
Yeah.
We have made it.
Yeah. And while I may think this episode's about talking about styles, it's really about talking about home. And
yeah.
One of the things that you know, we're real big about in our family is we have essential relationships, mm-hmm. people who affect us in our life in a certain way. And one of the essential relationships is with your environment.
Yeah.
And that's not a person, but it's a thing. And your home and your community is a living, breathing thing. And your environment, you know, this episode's about these things. And hearing that about you, I've never heard any of that about your life. You know, so for me, you may not know that Papaw actually built our very first house. I'm a, if we're talking architecture, my favorite is a ranch house.
Okay.
We live in a ranch currently. You live in a ranch.
I live, yep.
I grew up in ranch homes, but my father, my mom and dad were really young parents. They got married when mom was 15 and dad was 18.
Wow.
So super young over in the hills of East Tennessee.
Yep.
They met at church and just fell in love, had got married, then had my older brother.
Different time back then.
And then they had me. And then dad built our first ranch home from, keep in mind, he was in his teens doing this. Could you imagine a teenager? And he tells a story about the concrete truck came.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
He didn't realize that they were going to have these footers poured correctly. It had to be shaped and formed.
Yeah.
And they got there with the concrete and they're like, where's your forms? And he goes, I don't have them. They dumped the concrete there and left it. So he only had a certain amount of time to get it into the foundation of the home.
Wow.
And his brothers came over and they did those forms real quick and they were shoveling this concrete to create our house there on East Wolf Valley Road in Haskell, Tennessee. And it's funny. Are you this way? Would you have dreams about where you grew up? Do they occur a lot with you? Or is
no,
that just...
thankfully I've had therapy that's okay, prevented
well,
that.
True. So. No. So I will go on my side of it. I think a lot of people do have dreams about where they grew up. And I always go back to that the house my dad built. Mm-hmm. I only lived there from being a baby through probably 14 or so when we moved again. But that ranch home had so much love in it.
Mm-hmm.
The style of it, with that central hallway down the middle, the openness of the kitchens and all that thing. That's what endeared me to the ranch. And now when you think about ranch architecture, what I love about it now is it was created for energy efficiency.
Yeah.
One was they saw two-story homes at that time as being obnoxious mm-hmm. to the environment. And if you're looking at a skyline of a horizon of a community and you have these big homes, it was messing it up. So if you notice a lot of those ranch homes, they're brick with the gray roofs because it blends in with the earth and the sky. And they're close to the ground for energy efficiency.
Yeah.
You know, because back in the day, in the 20s, you were taxed by the amount of doors you had in your house.
Uh-huh.
So that's why we had shiffer robe rooms. And we still show homes in East Nashville and Belmead and Sylvan Park that the bedrooms don't have closets in them.
Yeah.
They're called shiffer robe rooms because of that tax piece. Well, that was over, and so people were like, we can have doors now.
Yeah.
So the ranch home became this place where people could have separation from their family. It was no longer open living. As you know, we're addicted to that show that was on HBO, the Frontier show.
Back to the Frontier.
Back to the Frontier.
You gotta watch it.
They're living in one big room.
Yeah.
Well, the ranch home was kind of the architecture style that said, we can all be on one level. We can all have our separate spaces. It was also about energy efficiency to be able to walk into one space and to close off that door and everything would be open.
Yeah.
So when we think about the architecture of the ranch home, that's why I love selling where we sell.
Yeah.
Because there's so many ranches where we are. So for me, the ranch home is absolutely the place to be.
Yeah. So maybe the ranch home for you is where you want to live and it is where you live. It's where I live. Mm-hmm. I definitely love it. But is that your favorite style of home?
No.
Okay, what's your favorite?
To look at.
Yeah.
I love living in a ranch, but I love driving through Hillsborough Village, over on the west side, southwest side of town. I love driving through certain streets of Inglewood. I love driving through historic Richland mm-hmm. and seeing the Tudor homes. Those English Tudor homes with those English gardens just make my heart sing.
Yeah.
I met last week with a developer. We're thinking about coming out of the ground, hopefully with some pretty hefty, amazing properties. And we're talking about doing English Tudor miniature farms.
Wow.
And I said,
A lot of people want those right now.
Well, in our meeting, they were like, what are you seeing? We're seeing a lot of Scandinavian design. We're seeing a lot of other things. We're not seeing this return to the Tudor. And there's some really great facades out there. And, mm-hmm. and when I see a Tudor, there's a house over in Hillsborough Village, just off of 21st. I drive by, it's got the gas lamps on it. When I see a Tudor home, it just makes my heart sing. So what's yours?
I have two that are kind of opposite for me.
Before you say it, because if you say this, because there's a term that he uses all the time, and I'm just making him mad. I call it bucolic.
It's not bucolic. It's bucolic,
or I'll call it all these words.
It's brutalist. Brutalist.
So he'll probably say that a lot in this podcast now that's out there. And just to make him mad, I'm going to mispronounce it. So if you go there, go for it now. Sorry to interrupt.
So it's not bucolic. It's brutalist. I don't even know what bucolic means. It sounds like a respiratory infection.
It does, actually.
It does.
I know what it means.
So brutalism is this very harsh. You see it a lot in Russia. It came from like the Soviet era when there was this oppressive
Soviet.
Yeah, when there was this
Soviet.
When there was Soviet era.
So you get so feminine.
When there was this oppression over in that area, and a lot of the architecture there is just this imposing, brutal, harsh, poured concrete forms that shoot out of the sky and have very harsh lines and edges to them.
Have you seen the Avon Williams campus of TSU in downtown?
I haven't. I'm going to Google that real quick.
And tell me if you think that's... We'll put it on our Instagram, and I want you to see this building. It's the Avon Williams campus, TSU, downtown Nashville. Would you consider that building brutalist? No. What about TPAC?
You know, I wouldn't. And TPAC, I wouldn't either.
Okay. So what's in Nashville that's brutalist then?
You know, I don't know if there's anything specifically in Nashville that is brutalist.
Sorry, bucolic.
Bucolic. There is a...
I'm going to Google and
there
see.
Is over... The University of Tennessee has
in
this...
Nashville?
Has the...
architecture building.
The ziggurat.
Oh, the
shape.
Ziggurat. Yeah.
That's over there. Their architecture building. And that has some brutalist inspiration to it, but it's not. I don't think it's truly like a typical brutalist experience.
Just the first Google hit when you Google Nashville brutalist buildings. What's the number one hit?
Avon Williams campus. Well, I guess he was right. He was right there. You got it on camera.
It also says Hunter Museum of American Art, McGee Library, the Sheraton downtown Nashville. Interesting. The Belcourt Theater.
Wow.
Up in the brutalist list.
Wow.
Now, it's been renovated, the Belcourt and Hillsborough Village.
It has.
But the previous one, would you consider that brutalist over there? I'm talking to the engineer right now.
The one that I always went to down
He's not on mic, so I'm going to repeat.
Down near Vanderbilt?
Uh-huh.
No, I would not.
You don't consider the... Okay, so he's been to the Belcourt Theater there, but the Googles say... But again, it's AI. It could be right, could be wrong.
Yeah, that's true.
Interesting.
We had just talked about that last week.
Avon Williams are saying it's brutalist, but also you talk about the University of Tennessee. I used to be the assistant director of admissions there.
You did.
And the art and architecture building there is in bucolic style.
Yeah, yeah. The other style, so we've talked about brutalist, not bucolic. We've talked about brutalist. The other style that I'm really drawn to is almost kind of the complete opposite. And I don't know what the word for it is, but it is a very... nature-forward kind of approach to design. You see a lot of it in the way Frank Lloyd Wright and his students design homes, where they try to incorporate as many natural elements as possible into the space. Lots of big open windows. You know, there's the one Frank Lloyd Wright home that's over the creek. That it's like the creek goes under the home and through the home, and you can look down off the... Beautiful. That I love. Falling Water is the name mm-hmm. of that home. I love that kind of where you bring the outside in, where there's lots of life and natural energy and light and plants in the building and in the space, because it brings this charm to it that for me is just second to none. So Totally opposite styles.
I'm going to admit something I've never admitted.
Okay.
I always get Frank Lloyd Wright mixed up. I always want to call him Andrew Lloyd Webber.
Frank Lloyd Webber.
And then who's the airplane guy?
The Wright brothers.
I always I'm scared to say it.
Yeah.
So I always like to say it really fast because I'm afraid of saying his name. Yeah. And because this goes to your Lego love. What they don't know about you is you love Lego.
I do. I'm a huge architecture fan.
And I said Lego because Legos is not plural.
It's
Lego bricks.
Yep.
And you know, you got into the whole architectural Lego piece and it's an obsession of yours.
Yeah.
I mean, they're bringing out, what's the next one we were looking at that's an architecture set?
It's a castle. I'm not going to say the name because it's in German and I don't want to mispronounce it and offend anybody. So it's a castle that's coming. And also the Black Pearl is coming. It's not an architecture set at all. But
you're excited.
Yeah, I like the ships as well. They've got some really good ships. But, you know, so we've talked about kind of home architecture. Yeah. So when we think about cities, you know, you really have... Especially when we talk about towers, you've got kind of opposite ends of the spectrum in a lot of cities where some of them are these sleek glass and steel skyscrapers that jut up into the sky and it's like a razor blade coming out of the ground. And then you have the opposite of that being the older brick facade or stone facade buildings that have just these gorgeous lines and so much character and personality. Do you have a preference on the?
You know, this gets into old Nashville, new Nashville.
Yeah.
You know, because Nashville, it used to be the law was, and you see this in Charleston, South Carolina. You see this in Savannah. You see this in New Orleans. You can't have a building taller than a steeple.
Yeah.
Because in the old faith tradition, Christ was to be the center of every city.
Yeah.
And nothing was supposed to be higher than that cross. So in Nashville, nothing below Broadway was over the height of a church there.
Huh.
And they changed that zoning for...
I didn't know that.
Because it's part of the Music City Center. When it was being developed, there were some condos going on down there, and they needed to go higher. And so the Metro Council changed that to where you go higher now. So when you look at old Nashville, you know, you've got, you know, Jack's Barbecue just closed downtown. You know? Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
It's that's on like 16th or 17th?
No, Jack's on Broadway.
Oh, on Broadway. The downtown gotcha.
It's being taken over by next door. So it's say in Nashville. But my point is, this is a Nashville, new Nashville versus old Nashville. It used to be you could drive through Nashville and see the Ryman Auditorium from everywhere.
Yeah.
Now it's blocked by 5th and Broadway.
Yeah.
You know, you've got the Bat Building that's been here for a long time. That's our icon in Nashville. And then, you know, the Gulch had nothing in it. You got our building. We were actually working the skyscraper at Broadwest.
Yeah, it's gorgeous.
So I love old Nashville. I love looking at the, you know, the Broadway buildings. I love, you know, where the Barbershop Quartet building headquarters is. Mm-hmm. You know, the Lifeway buildings were beautiful.
Yeah.
Back in the day, now that's been replaced with Nashville Yards. You got the new Pinnacle down there. So it's rough for me. But I do love progress.
Yeah.
So when I'm looking at like you know, the new Amazon building downtown that's got the stackables to it, absolutely beautiful. I look at Broadwest, the building we work in. Mm-hmm. I absolutely love it.
Yeah. There's some great vignettes there for photography.
The building across that we talked about in the first podcast.
Yeah.
That's not showing up on Google Street View across from Ascend Amphitheater. I absolutely love. I love what I'm seeing on the East Bank. Uh-huh. We need to do a podcast on just the East Bank. That'd be a great one to do. The architecture that's going on there. So
we talked about the Titan Stadium too the other day. The new Titan Stadium coming over the Korean Veterans Bridge.
It's a hard question for me to answer. I'm sorry, I've completely dodged it. What's yours?
You know, I look at cities like Chicago that have so much gorgeous stone architecture.
Gorgeous.
And the towers.
That Tribune building.
Yeah, they just have this richness and this character and charm. And it gives a sense of established. You know, I like to garden. And one of the things that I do anytime I build a garden is I put in a stone kind of wall or a stone shape. And then I cover that with moss. Because it gives the illusion that this is an established place that's been here for a while. Because those natural elements just kind of give that sense of stability and of longevity to a space. And so when you go into a city like, you know, New York, certain parts of New York, a lot of Chicago, you have these buildings that are just old. And we had talked about me working on cruise ships at one point. You know, I got to travel to all over the world when I was working on cruise ships. And I remember one of my favorite memories from being on the cruise ships is we were ported in Venice. So I got to see the floating city of Venice. And as we're coming into Venice, I get off with, you know, some of the other musicians and dancers that are on the ship. And we're going out and we're exploring these buildings all around the city of Venice. And I've got some pictures up on my Instagram, I think. You have to scroll way down to the bottom, but they're there from my time when I was over in Italy. And we go into this room in this cathedral, in this church that was built into the side of this wall. And we're walking around and we're looking, and you know, the gold on the ceilings, the paintings, the reliefs on the ceilings, it's just gorgeous. And then we find out that the room that we're standing in is like 450 years old. And that piece of furniture is original. And that piece of furniture is original. And the sense of place and time to be in a space that is older than your country is just incredible to put so many things into perspective for you. Well, so,
and I talked about Nashville first. I want to ask you about Nashville in a second, but I want to go to another city now since you brought up other cities.
Yeah.
I should have stayed with another city. I want to talk globally, architecture, Prague.
Okay.
That architecture, I mean, you've obviously seen movies like, you know, the Vin Diesel movies and what is that called? X or I forget.
Triple X. Yeah. Yeah.
That was all filmed in Prague. A lot of the Spider-Man movies are filmed there. And just that architecture, just... Oh, you're talking about cathedrals. When I look at global cities, that's the city, you know, everybody thinks Paris with architecture. I think Prague globally. When I think domestically in architecture, you stole my Chicago, so I can't go there. But I do love Chicago. But I'm gonna go to Washington, D.C.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that architecture, you got to go for the first time.
I
did. You know,
last year I went for the first time.
I sent him to Washington, D.C. by himself because he'd never been, and you're a museum nerd, too.
I loved it.
And
so
you look
much
at the African American Museum up there and that architecture, and that's new architecture.
Yeah.
And then you blend it with, you know, the simple architectures of the Washington Monument, which are stereotypes, but of what we think about American. But when you really look at the architecture there, it's just stunning.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just absolutely love going to D.C., walking it at night. I love going out at 11 o'clock and staying out till 2 in the morning, just walking all those monuments and everything. Yeah. So domestically, you know, Chicago would be my number one, too, with you there. But I would put D.C. my number two.
Well, speaking of monuments, you know, in Nashville, we have the Parthenon, which, correct me if I'm wrong, that was part of the World's Fair. Mm-hmm. Build and construction exposition, that they did, the exposition that happened here in Nashville, which is really cool.
The Athens of the South.
Yeah, we were the Athens of the South.
That's what we're called, yeah.
Well, ironically enough, on cruise ships, this was before I had moved to Nashville, I got to go to Greece as part of a tour that I was doing out. And I got to go to the original Parthenon up on the Acropolis. And I got to see, you know, the statue or the temples of Zeus and the temples of Poseidon and the temples of Hera. And got to see, you know, the original that inspired what we have. Ours is in much better condition,
it's
by the
beautiful.
Way.
It's so beautiful.
Ours has not been through, you know, 2,000 years of history yet. But what are some monuments here in Nashville that maybe you think of as being true architectural treats for people to see? If somebody were to visit Nashville and wanted to look at some monuments in the city, what
I
wouldn't
say necessarily monuments. Maybe go back for buildings and... We talked about this in, I think, the introduction podcast. We see shows at Belmont and that Fisher Center, the architecture inside there, they've truly kept that historic theater dome feel.
Yeah.
And for me, going inside, going to Belmont as a whole, the architecture there as a school, they've done such a good job of keeping that architecture in place. When I think about architecture monuments downtown, obviously we talked about the Bat Building, but that's new. I always go back to the Ryman, which I love. I love going to the bell towers at Bicentennial Mall, which is part of the Capitol Complex just off of Jefferson. They play the Tennessee Waltz on the hour there, which is our state song. That's in the Tennessee State Museum's now next to that. Mm-hmm. It's got some in the archives, the Frist Center for the Arts.
Yeah.
Man, what a beautiful Union Station. Forgot about Union Station.
Really, really good.
Stunning really good. Architecture.
Well, you know, there's also like you have the art installation on Music Row Circle, that roundabout there.
That Mimi, your grandmother, will not look at because they're naked. she'll go through there. Sorry, Mom, if you're listening to this. My dad's name's Virgil. Her name's Teresa. She'll go, Virgil, don't drive through that area. They're naked and driving around through there. And that's just awful. I don't want to see that. And so, like, sometimes the Predators, when they're, or like, if there's a Predators game, they'll put clothes on them.
Okay.
Or on St. Patrick's Day, they'll put kilts on them, and mom will drive through it at that point.
Lovely.
But she's very offended by it. It's called Musica, and they're actually adding a fountain to it.
Yeah.
So there's a fundraising piece because it was designed as a fountain, and they could only get the actual sculpture done.
Yeah.
And so now they're fundraising on this.
Well, there's another one over the roundabout off of 8th Avenue that goes to the Korean Veterans Bridge. It's a Native American art piece. Okay. And
are you talking about sticks?
Yeah, the sticks.
Yeah.
When they were first putting it in, you know, I thought, what's up with all these telephone poles sitting over here? Is this just like a repository for gently used telephone poles? Or they're waiting to take these off somewhere else, and then they painted them and brought it to life. And I realized, oh, that's wonderful. Another one is at the it's really across the river from the end of Broadway. There's the red
Ghost Ghost Ballet.
Yep, exactly. So you've got that.
They call it everybody says it's the Wabash Cannonball from Opryland that got taken down, which is a roller coaster.
Yep.
And people believe that. It's like this urban legend. No, it's not. It's just a sculpture. Go ahead. Sorry.
And Nashville did used to have an amusement park.
Yeah.
And I wish we had another one here. I wish Dollywood would move over here, but you know, that's another, neither here nor there. That's for another episode. You know,
but you've left out the one I kept one back because I was waiting for you to say your favorite building. Have you forgotten?
My favorite building.
You talk about it all the time, Zach.
Oh, did I say my favorite building was?
Think about the Parthenon, and you can see it from the Parthenon.
Oh, the Vanderbilt Tower. The Vanderbilt Tower, yes.
You're about to kill me. I've been not saying it because I love it too, but I was saving it for you.
Yeah, so Vanderbilt has done a lot of expansion on their campus. They're always expanding. Over by the Parthenon, you can see it from the Parthenon. You can see it when you're driving into Nashville from 65.
You love that
it's beautiful. It's this gorgeous brick tower. They have it lit up so beautifully at night. You've got to check it out. If you go online and Google it, we'll post a link in the show notes for this as well. But it's just gorgeous.
And before we go into break, let's talk about music venue styles.
Yeah.
And architecture. Ascend Amphitheater. The audio quality there because of the architecture there. Uh-huh. And it's amazing how the sound doesn't really leak beyond.
Yeah.
And it was one of the only concerts when we go to concerts there, you and I are addicted to things called loops. They're things that you put in your earplugs that you can still have audio quality in. We don't have to use loops in there because the sound is so good because of the architecture.
Yeah. It's like the Hollywood Bowl, how they have that roof shape.
Amazing.
Yeah. You know, you've got smaller music venues like the Bluebird Cafe, which is literally a hole in the wall.
Yeah.
Even though it's, you know, renowned and it's got all this history and, you know, global recognition, it's just this hole in the wall.
And you kind of offended me yesterday.
Oh, did I? Tell me.
That text message.
Tell me. What did I say?
The Ryman Auditorium. You go, it's just a box with windows.
Yeah.
And you notice I didn't respond.
I
think it's beautiful. He doesn't think it's beautiful. I think the Ryman Auditorium is absolutely stunning.
Yeah. We were talking about Lego architecture sets and what we think should be one for Nashville.
So I do like the Ryman Auditorium as a music venue. I think it's beautiful. I haven't been to the Pinnacle yet. We were talking to Vince last night, who's one of Micah's drummer friends, and there's going to be I'm totally into a band called Camino right now, and they're going to do a concert.
Oh, nice.
At Pinnacle. So excited about seeing that music venue. I love the architecture on the outside of that.
Yeah.
What are some older ones?
You know, Trixie Mattel is coming to
the Pinnacle.
Yeah. She's doing a live DJ set, which I don't want to go because I just know it's going to smell terrible.
Oh, yeah.
Because you don't have all the... All the gays, I can say this because I'm one of them. You have all the sweaty gays and they're dancing and flipping their fans around, and it's going to smell like BO and regret.
Well, speaking of BO, Micah, your little brother, BO King, he's playing at Rudy's Jazz Club.
Oh, nice.
In a few weeks. And, you know, it's not got a really architecture.
Yeah.
It's kind of in that gulch area. We're seeing some of those old buildings that are still hanging on. Mm-hmm. I think places like Rudy's Jazz Club will have to probably move out at some point.
Yeah. Well, you've got that place in Green Hills, Char, that has live music there as well.
I've not noticed their architecture, though.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's not anything to write home about, but it is a live music venue. Obviously, we've got Symphony.
Harken Hall.
Harken Hall in Madison. One.
Oh, the Symphony Building. How could we forget the Skirmerhorn?
Yeah, the Skirmerhorn
is
gorgeous.
That's
so gorgeous.
Yeah, we've made a mistake by not mentioning that one earlier.
My only thing about, and I totally understand, you shouldn't have your phone when you're in the Symphony. It's not a space for electronics, but
there is
zero cell phone reception in there at all. Zero.
None.
TPAC, You know, the TPAC building is so not great, but that is part of the East Bank, is that there's plans for them to build a new TPAC center over there. Hopefully that goes through.
And then Exit Inn is one of the building icons of Nashville. Well, it's had a huge historic preservation.
Yeah.
And when we think about historic preservation, we lost Music Row architecturally.
Yeah.
Ben Folds got really into this piece because the studios were getting torn down on Music Row, and we've lost the architecture of Music Row. You now got the Virgin Hotel. BMI building may be a Berkeleyctic building.
Bucolic.
Yeah.
Brutalist
the
building.
The BMI building may fall into Brutalist. But, we've still got the ASCAP building, CSAC, BMI, the Word building. There's that old convent that BMG, that's on Music Row. You don't remember this, gosh. The Columbia, you get like 10 CDs for a dime.
What's a CD?
Yeah, shut up. Cassettes are coming back. Taylor Swift's releasing her stuff in cassette.
Really?
And your little brother wants a Walkman, so stop with the attitude there. So there's the nunnery, the convent, that's Music Row there. So Music Row's seen a big architectural change, which is sad for that whole piece. I don't want to go to break on a sad piece, but it is what it is.
So we can talk about one other thing, and then we'll go to break. Okay. And that is, you'd mentioned the tallest building in Nashville already.
Oh, yeah,
We talked about the Batman building. It held the record for a long time, and then the 505 became the tallest building in Nashville. Well, there's a new one, and we were worried because over the past couple of weeks, they've had some financing issues.
Yeah.
But they did secure a new loan. It's the Paramount building.
And it's gorgeous.
Yeah, it is gorgeous. The renderings of it are gorgeous. Yeah. They've not broken ground on it yet, but there's condos that are going to be for sale there. I think they're going to have apartments.
We can do pre-sales now. I mean, if people want to reach out
absolutely.
To us
about pre-sales. Yeah, if you want to talk about getting the space at the Paramount and let us know, we're happy to get that ball rolling for you. But when we come back, we're going to talk about one of the things that we love to do when we drive down the interstate,
Is
call out this building that we hate.
I can't wait to tell you.
We make a joke about it every time we come by. So stick around, y'all. We'll be right back.
Break time.
All right, y'all. Welcome back.
I'm so excited about this.
We're back. We're here to talk about something that
we hate so bad.
Yeah. So when you're coming into Nashville from the south of Nashville and you're coming up on 65 North, there is this building that went up probably 5 years ago, maybe 6 years ago. Y'all, it is the ugliest building in Nashville. It is hideous.
It's right beside the Albion.
It is.
And if you're leaving the soccer stadium and you head up, we have this thing every time we go by. We did it the other night. You're about to fall asleep in the car. It was so late. We were coming home from, I think, Dolly Parton the musical. And I literally said, I hate that building. Because every time we drive by this building,
we say
the exact same thing just because now it's a joke between us. It's blocked the entire downtown view. Mm-hmm. And if you are listening to this podcast and you were part of building it, if you were part of the government that approved it, we don't want you to listen to our podcast ever again because we're so mad at you.
Yep. Well, what they've done is they've taken this pretty boring apartment. It looks like a parking garage.
It looks
garage.
Like a Fairfield Inn is what it looks like.
Yeah, yeah. And they've put this like paint shape on it.
Blue and
there's blues and pinks and
brick
yellows.
Color. It's awful.
It looks like they were like, okay, we've just blocked the skyline.
I'm gonna find
how can we paint a picture of a generic skyline on the side of this building so that it looks like there's a skyline? It is the ugliest thing. I hate it. I remember the first time, I said, I hate that building. And Poppy's like, oh, that's a strong opinion. And then a couple weeks later, we were driving by it again. And I said, oh, I hate that building. And he's like, yeah, I hate it too.
It's awful.
And so we talk about it every time we drive by.
Every single time. And we'll put a picture of it on our Instagram.
Yeah, public shaming. We're going
to
shame them.
We're going to shame you and show. And we may actually stop at the interstate and just back up traffic during drive time to show what it blocks.
Yeah.
I can't find it right now, but it's right beside the Albion in the Gulch. It's the ugliest building in the world. I'm aggravated that it stole our view.
Yeah.
And this was a kind of our therapy. We wanted to talk about it in the podcast today just to rat it out because we just don't like it. So that's bad architecture.
Yeah.
So what makes bad architecture to you, in your opinion?
For me, what makes architecture bad is when it doesn't blend in with the environment, when it creates dissonance between spaces, when it disrupts. That's kind of what bad architecture is to me. I mean, there's lots of interpretations of it, But I guess disruption would be probably the word that I would use most to describe bad architecture. What about you?
Well, I'm not a big fan of brutalism. I mean, yeah. I grew up outside of Oak Ridge, Tennessee, mm-hmm. and you know that's where the Oak Ridge National Laboratory is where the Manhattan Project was. Uh-huh. All that was very inspired during that, as you would call it, Soviet era.
Soviet
era.
In Russia.
Soviet Union. And I just not really drawn to the architectural style. I like soft lines. I tend to be attracted to soft lines in graphic design. My photography tends to go very softer with that. So that's an architectural style that sometimes disrupts me when I'm showing homes. There's certain architectural styles that people love, and I'm like, we're known for tall skinnies here in Nashville. Yeah. This has been one of the most separating architectural styles. I mean,
we're pretty divisive.
We're known for tall skinnies, and it's where density has happened, and they've taken the houses up higher.
Yeah.
So,
and density is a great thing. Don't get us wrong. We need.
But you can do density with great architecture.
We need it in Nashville, but you can. You know, especially look at cities. Larger cities, especially those that are more established like the New Yorks and the Chicagos, where you have brownstones or redstones that are true multifamily developments, fourplexes, sixplexes, eightplexes, and they're beautiful to look at.
And we sell these houses all the time. People love them.
Yeah.
I mean, hear me clear. If you want to buy that, we'll absolutely be fake enough. Just kidding. We'll absolutely sell you one because there's people who they love it. It's just not my style.
Yeah.
I think about when me and your dad built our dream house over on Fern Avenue. We bought most of Fern Avenue back in 2005, and it was a dumping ground at that point. The night we closed on that property, we go up there to go look at it, and a father and son had gotten a fight on the front yard and stabbed each other with syringes.
Wow.
The night it was just a dumping ground up there.
Nashville and beyond.
Yeah. But now, you go up there and there's $2-3 million homes. Uh-huh. Amazing architecture, but then you've also got a lot of the boxy five-story places because they're trying to get the downtown view.
Yeah.
So that architecture is especially loving Fern Avenue like I do because as there's, of course, pioneers before us. There are people who lived there before who, the Hee-Haw Girl House was up there. Mm-hmm. There was a house that was this old Victorian, and that's where the Hee-Haw, you probably don't know what Hee-Haw was, but it was a TV show that was on back in the day. And the Hee-Haw Girls lived in that house on Fern Avenue.
I'm going to ask you to tell a story here that people may not know this about you, but there's a story involving a crackhead and Fern Avenue.
I don't know if I want to tell this story or not.
I would love for you to tell it. It's a great story.
Okay. So when we were building our house on Fern, which we did, our entire architectural inspiration for it was Disney's Grand Californian Hotel in Disneyland. And so we went to the architect and said, hey, we want to recreate this. And so we were the first big house to be built up there. We didn't put windows on the front too much because we were concerned about people breaking in. Mm-hmm. And back in the day, before Craigslist and online dating apps and online hosting apps, we'll say, Dickerson Pike was known as a place for finding joy after hours.
Sure.
We're trying to not get taken off by YouTube and get a PG-13 rating on this. And so we actually had a lady who walked that street. Mm-hmm. Her name was Rita, and she was a host. She would host people after hours. Isn't that sweet of her? And so we went to Rita because Rita became a friend of ours. She wasn't hosting us.
Sure.
You know? But she became a friend of ours, and she would always come by, and we actually would pay her to watch the house for us as it was being built.
Uh-huh.
So one day, our trusses and our wood package gets delivered, and it's gone within 2 hours. And so we're like, oh no, this is awful. And so we find Rita.
It's expensive.
We go down to Dickerson Pike,
and
we find Rita, and Rita said, it's right over there. And literally the people across the street had taken all of our lumber and put it in the crawl space. And Rita told us where it was. And we went over and said, hey, we know our lumber's here. No harm, no foul. We just want it back. And they gave it back to us. Yeah. We didn't have to call the police or anything. But that's just telling you the area we were in at that point. That's what happened. Now where our lumber was stolen now sits a $2 million home. So, So there's your story. We hired a prostitute to watch our wood.
No pun intended. Thank you for telling that story.
Yeah, you're welcome.
It's a great story. You're welcome. It's a great story. You know, I'd like to take a minute here to ask you some kind of rapid fire questions.
Okay.
About if somebody named, if I were to name a Nashville neighborhood.
I can do this. Okay.
What are the dominant architectural styles in that neighborhood?
Okay, I'll close my eyes for this one. Okay.
So let's talk about East Nashville.
East Nashville's tough because there's so many different neighborhoods. So if we're looking at Lachlan Springs, we're talking Victorian and craftsman style. If we're going into Eastwood Neighbors, we're going to talk about cottages, some four squares. We go into Inglewood, we're talking Tudors, four squares, some Tudor cottages that are stone. And then we go into, it used to be called Neil S. Brown, and Shelby Village. So those are salt box homes. They are just these small little boxes. So, East Nashville, that's what I love about East Nashville. It's got all this great architecture.
Great. Let's talk about 12 South.
12 South, gosh, that's where Dolly Parton's management offices are, and Reese Witherspoon's store is, Draper James. And 12 South's really, it used to be called Sunnyside. And so during, it's got a strange architecture now because there's so much new construction there. But if I had to describe the one architectural style there, it would be, a traditional, that's a hard one. It's all over the place in 12 South.
Yeah. Okay. What about the Nations?
The Nations. Wow. So a lot of those houses when back in the early 2000s, when we were having those inspected, they were sheds that were just put on the dirt. They didn't have foundations or anything.
Yeah.
So many of those old houses, they were salt box houses, but many of them have been bulldozed and put tall and skinnies in.
What about West Mead?
West Mead. Oh, gosh, the most beautiful ranch homes anywhere. These rambling ranchers that just go over 2-acre lots. One of my very favorite places to show. The problem over there is it's got some hills, so you can't get the true large ranch in some cases, but you get these amazing basements over there, mm-hmm. and amazing. Mm-hmm.
What about Hermitage?
Hermitage, of course, is named after Andrew Jackson, who was one of the presidents from Tennessee, and the Hermitage architecture is actually in this this colonial cottage, column style, like what you were describing earlier. But Hermitage as a whole was shaped by men by the name of Frank Batson. He did a lot of the building over there. He's actually next door to this studio on the board of directors of that school there. And he built a lot of the miniature mansions over there that were reflective of larger homes in larger cities. And Frank Batson really shaped Hermitage. So when I think Hermitage, I think Frank Batson and the quality home he still builds today.
Got two more for you. Okay. Green Hills.
Green Hills.
It's a big neighborhood, big area.
I think Neo-Georgian.
Neo-Georgian.
Thank you for the interpretation today. And that's a mixture of Georgian style with this southern mansion columns. You do see some large Tudors over there. But then the Green Hills also got the Lipscomb side, and you'll see a lot of more Tudors over there. But if I had to give one architectural style, it'd be Neo-Georgian.
And last one, our area, Madison.
Madison. I would put in the ranch category.
Yeah.
We know too much about it, but there's a lot of ranches because there's a lot of really large lots up here.
Yeah.
And they're just conducive to ranch-style homes.
Yeah, a lot of the lots in Madison are very big, especially the area that we live in, Neely's Bend. There's a beautiful park down in Neely's Bend called Peeler Park.
Yep.
And if you're driving down Neely's Bend Road, which the road is only about 4, maybe 5 miles long, if you're driving down that road, but in between mile 0 and mile 2, it's very suburban feeling.
Yeah.
You've got postage stamp lots and things are a lot smaller. Between mile 2 and 3, maybe 2 and 4, the lot sizes start to get bigger. You get closer to an acre and a half, two mm-hmm. acres. And then down at the very end of Neely's Bend where y'all live, the lots are huge. You know, you've got 12, 20, 40 acre parcels of land where people are putting these farms out. So
I want to go back to a historic Edgefield because it's the home to Painted Ladies.
Oh, yeah.
And we can't miss Painted Ladies when it comes to architecture. And these are the homes that you see the gingerbread painting on, mm-hmm. where they'll be red with purple columns, some absolutely gorgeous architecture. And you can't miss the four squares of Belmont either.
Yeah.
I just love when I bring new buyers to town and we're just doing their sampling days. I just love showing these architectural styles. So I definitely wanted to mention those. You didn't ask me about those. So
great. So y'all, we're going to move on to our next segment. This is Nashville Nashville Rathers.
My turn.
It is your turn. Yay. For Nashville Rathers.
I thought I got a turn on last podcast.
No, so you get your turn on this podcast.
Okay.
So the question that I have for you today, Nashville Rathers, okay? This is going to be about, I'm going to try to keep it in the vein of architecture.
Okay.
And the question is this. Would you rather keep the house you're in and never make any repairs to it or changes to it ever again,
okay,
and have to live there for the rest of your life,
okay,
or have a budget of $500,000 and have to move somewhere else in the city?
Well, Mike pretty much answered that question for me last night. We had this talk on the way home, and he pretty much threatened my life if we ever left the house. All three of my kids are pushing me out of my house. You brought up the other day, so let's build a family compound.
Yeah.
You know, the joy is we only perk for one house on the septic tank out there. So Micah would absolutely kill me. Because he's already said he's going to move us in out of that house, and he's going to live there one day.
Yeah, when he's 18.
And he actually said, because I told him last night, we were driving down the road, and I said, knowing what I know now, I would have bulldozed our house, mm-hmm, because there's, you know, the basement's not big enough, and, you know, we redid Esther's room yesterday. Her room's not big enough, blah, blah, blah. And he was like, he literally said, if we could build a new house, I would identically do ours. He would build the exact same house. And I'm like, he says my room's the perfect size. His room is the size of a closet. And he's like, it's perfect.
Yeah.
You know, but then you think about building a new house. You said 500,000. This tells me how much you haven't built a new house.
Yeah.
You know, our friend Kevin just went through a possible remodel. He was thinking about it, but bailed on it because of the price tag on it.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of buyers who come into town. They're like, we're just going to buy land and build a property there. And they want to buy a piece of land around Nashville for $50,000, which doesn't exist.
Right.
And then they think they can build a $125,000 home on it.
Yeah.
And they can't. And so, building.
Well, we know this because there was that piece of property right next door to the church,
yeah,
that we have that, you know, even it, y'all, the people who lived there before they tore down their mobile home, they were.
He's passed away now, God rest his soul, but he was wanted in, yeah, Florida, and we didn't know that till he about died.
Yeah.
Because we were ready to turn his butt in.
Yeah. There was just some stuff going on the property.
He was making your life hell.
Yeah, he was making my life. He was showing up drunk, pulling into my driveway with his bright lights on, shining into my house. It was not great.
But that land sold finally.
The land finally sold, but it's a smaller slice of land, and it still sold for like almost $200,000. Just the land, nothing on it at all.
Yeah, and so land's expensive, and that's in Madison, so it's even more expensive in other parts of town.
Yeah.
So when you add land plus the new building, you're looking at, you know, whatever per square foot to build. You know, it's just not a viable option. So when you're telling me, Brian, I'm going to give you $500,000 to go build a house somewhere else. You know, if you'd given me $1 million to build, maybe your 1.5 million would be a harder question. But my clear answer on this Nashville rather is I'd keep probably God. I love it.
Gotcha.
And Micah will stay as my son and won't.
We all love what you've got.
Yeah.
You know, y'all, they've got one of the coolest kitchens I have ever seen in my life.
I'll put that on Instagram too.
It was in magazines. Yep. It was featured in articles. They've got these beautiful baby blue or robin's egg blue,
yep,
kitchen cabinets in there that are just absolutely gorgeous. That's about all the time that we have for today.
Oh, it went by so fast.
It did go by so fast. Yeah.
Did we discuss everything we wanted to?
We did. We talked about everything. We sure did.
I didn't look at my computer enough, so I was probably jumping around.
I saw you had to keep waking your computer up. No, it's fine.
Did I get off your schedule today?
No. Okay. This was what we had on the schedule for today.
You're not going to be mad at me after this is over?
No, I won't. Okay. I sure won't.
Because I didn't go on schedule. All right. So good episode on architecture.
Yep.
I didn't know if we could fill up the time on this one, but we did.
We sure did. We really talked about how architecture is not just about the building.
Feelings.
Yeah, it's about feelings, yeah, and emotions and how it shapes the way that you interact with a space and how that space interacts with you. It can help build community. It can help create dissonance. There's lots of things that architecture can do.
And to close us out, I'm going to sing Emotions by Mariah Carey.
Okay, ready? Great.
Just and that's
thank
it.
Thank you
that's
so it. Much Bye, for staying along. We'll see you next week.
You got
This podcast is for educational and entertainment purposes only. It does not constitute legal, financial, or real estate advice. Listeners should always consult licensed professionals for guidance specific to their situation. Brian and Zach Copeland are licensed real estate agents with Compass 615-522-5100. Kevin Kennerson, MLS number 171733 with Lindenham Mortgages, the executive producer. Engineer Mike Reeves. Music Dusty Boots by Eco Weeks. Nashville and Beyond. Copyright 2025.